And we back in this thing like we left something. What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to this week's episode of I Got a Story to Tell. Thank y'all for joining me for another week and another story. We had a two-parter. Had a two-part story the last 2 weeks. I appreciate y'all checking it out, listening to it, giving me feedback, all of that. Real quick, before I go any further, I want to give a huge shout out to my brother, my guy, Keys. First and foremost, I love you, brother. Congratulations on the birth of the little one. My nephew, Manny, little Manny, is here. I know you're going to be a great father, brother. I know it. I ain't even worried about it. So congrats to you and the wife on the new addition to the family. Do your thing. Do your damn thing, brother. All right, y'all. With that being said, let's get to this story. I got a story to tell y'all. Let's go. Struggled with if I was even going to tell this story, and the reason is because fuck it, I just get into it. So this story takes place around 2007-2008. I'm living in Cincinnati, Ohio. I take it back, I'm actually living outside the city. I'm living in an area called Amelia, Ohio, Claremont County. And at the time, this is, like I said, 07, 08, the city of Cincinnati, crime was crazy, right? There was a bunch of bullshit going on. A lot of young, like, teenage cats was wilding. They killing shit. I mean, for those who didn't live in the city, this is around the time Cincinnati was on First 48 a lot, right? This is that period. And at the time, I'm working at 2020. For my people in the city, y'all know what 2020 is. For my ones that don't, it's a detention center at the time, right? And so around this time, like I said, crime was crazy. A bunch of teenagers wild and they killing and shooting shit. Shit's really going left in the city. Like I said, First 48 time. This is around this time period. Shit, at 2020, we got them all. The ones that was on First 48. Kelly Doherty Trap. Nico Hawkins, Tor Hardy, all of them, the ones that you saw on the show, we got them, right? We had them in our building. We had a bunch of other young wildcats, you know, wilding in the city. Rave Garnett, shit, you had the young boys from out in Lincoln Heights. Shout out to everybody in Zone 15. You had them young cats. I think they called themselves the Shotters. You had Lil Mad Max, all these cats, right? Shit, Mark Pickens even wild out. So that's this time period. So let me get to the story. Like I said, at the time I'm working at 2020, and I worked that first shift, like 7 a.m. to 3. But sometimes I would work a double, like work overtime. And at the time, I had my English Mastiff named Hercules. And I lived pretty far away from the job. So If I had to be to work at 7, I would usually leave the crib about 5:30. I would get up in the morning, take Hercules out, you know, right before I left. So at 5:29, he out peeing and shitting, and he coming back in the crib, and I'm in the car. Because I ain't play that peeing and shitting in the house. So we never did that. So I knew he could hold it. For that time I was at work, by the time I get home, I let him out, he doing his due. But on the rare occasion I worked a double shift, meaning I would work 7 in that morning to 11 in the evening, I would take him to my mother's crib. My mother lived in Roseline at the time, on a street called Glen Orchard. So I go to work this day. I'm at work. Work's pretty busy. They coming in and out, in and out. And I decide I'm going to sign up for some overtime the next day. So I sign up and I call my mother. I say, Ma, I'm going to work a double tomorrow. I said, I'm going to drop Hercules off at your crib and then come on to work. She said, all right, cool. And like I said, I would do that because he couldn't hold, you know, his piss and shit for, what, essentially 18 hours. The hour ride to work and from home, not to mention the 16 that I was at work. So I would drop him off at my mother's house and she had let him in and out and all that shit. So I call her and I tell her, I say, Mom, I'm going to work a double. She said, all right, cool. I said, I'm going to drop Hercules off. She says, cool. So I get off work, go home, and I'm packing up his stuff, getting his stuff ready. Because I usually would like to be to my mother's crib no later than 6 to drop him off. So I take him that next morning, drop him off, and I go to work. First shift at work is cool, you know, the normal shit. As we're doing and making that shift change, I call my mom. I say, hey, you good? She say, yeah. I say, well, when I leave at 11, I say, if you want me to bring you anything, just let me know. She said, all right, cool, I'll let you know. Now, shutdown usually happened about 7:45. You know, they would take their showers and all that. They back in their rooms or whatever. And they down for the night by 8. So that happens. And at 8 o'clock, I call my mother. I say, what's up, Ma? She say, nothing. Say, these damn kids out here in this parking lot next to my house throwing these damn firecrackers and running around acting a fool. Now, my mom's crib. So my mom was like in like this little townhouse thing, right? Next to her crib was a parking lot and a dumpster and a grassy area. But that parking lot was for the people who lived in this big apartment building right there. Probably about, you know, I'm going to say at least 40 units in that building. So she said, you know, them kids out there throwing them firecrackers and running around and whatnot. I said, oh, okay, cool. I said, well, you know, kids. She said, yeah, I ain't tripping. I said, how's Hercules? She said, good. She said, I want to let him out, you know, to go to his bathroom, but these kids out here and all that. Now, you have to understand, Hercules at the time was about anywhere between 175 and 180. He's a huge English Mastiff. Y'all know the breed of dog is huge, right? And so, she's like, but these kids out here. Now, my mother, being a small woman, really couldn't control Hercules on a leash. She could control him, was crazy, not on the leash. He was stand by her. He was pretty well behaved. But she didn't want to run that risk of going outside while these kids running around throwing firecrackers and all that shit and he losing and snap. So she was like, as soon as they, you know, carry their ass in the house, I'm going to let him. I said, all right, cool. I finished working my shift. And I'm about to leave. And I called my mother. I said, hey, Ma. I said, I'm about to head that way. I said, I'm probably going to stop at Steak and Lemonade. For my Cincinnati people, y'all know Steak and Lemonade is the spot, right? I used to get the same thing every time. Veggie burger and Caesar fries. So, I say, you want me to bring you anything? She said, nah, I'm good. I said, what'd you eat? She's like, I cooked something, but I'm good. I said, okay, cool. I'm about to head that way. She says, no problem. So, I drive and I get there. I park in the parking lot next to the crib where the kids be playing there. And the only cars in the parking lot, there's an Acura, which is down further in the parking lot near the dumpster. And my car, which is like directly next to my mom's crib. So I park, I look, the Acura has its lights on and shit. Car's running. I ain't think nothing of it. I go in the house. Hercules happy to see me. My mom's talking to me, shooting the shit a little bit. So I let Hercules out. I would always open the front door. He would run to the grassy area by the parking lot, use the bathroom, and run back to me. So I open the door and I step out with him. And I would never walk all the way over to the grass. I would walk like to the end of the sidewalk. He would go over to the grass, do his do, and run right back to me. I stop. He don't run to the grass. He runs to the car, the other car that's there. He's just standing there, though. Now, my thing is, the size of dog that Hercules is, you always got the same reaction from people when they saw him. They were going to jump, or they're going to be like, oh, he's big, right? That's what they're going to usually do or say. So I can see, like, the windows are lightly tinted on the Acura. It's there. There's a light, like a street light, over, like, by the dumpster and where this car is parked. So I can see, with the light flashing down on the parking lot, like, I can see into the car. I see that there are two people in the car. But like I say, if Hercules gets that close to you, people jump or say something, or it, you always get a reaction out of a dog that size, but nothing. So I'm like, Hercules, get over here. So he comes back. So I walk to the grass knowing that he'll come to the grass. I just wanted to use the bathroom so we could go. He comes over to the grass, but he don't use the bathroom. He runs back. This time he runs to the front of the car. And he's barking crazy, right? Barking bananas. Now, if you know the breed of dog, English Mastiffs don't do a lot of barking, right? They don't. With Hercules, something had to really be off for him to bark. So he's standing in front of his car and he's barking. And the sheer size of him, like, he has this deep bark. And so I'm like, Hercules, here now. So whenever I would say that, he would come and be on my right side and he would sit down. So he comes and he sits down. And I'm at this point, I'm still in the grassy area, which is about 20 yards behind the car. He comes and sits down. And I'm telling him to go use the bathroom so we can go. Nah. He goes to the passenger side at this point. Bark, bark, bark. I walk over and I can see that the window, the front side, the passenger side window is gone. Like, been busted out type shit. I said, Hercules, here now. And he come over. We go in the house. I'm like, he would not use the bathroom. He over there bothering that car. My mother said, that car still out there? I said, yeah. She said, that car been out there since at least 7 o'clock. At this point, we looking at midnight, right? Because I got off work at 11. To stop and get something to eat, drive to my mother's crib is at least 45 minutes, right? So we looking close to midnight at this point. So I'm like, really? She said, yeah. And the light's been on and, you know, it's been running the entire time. I said, damn, okay. I said, well, the window bust out. She was like, really? I said, yeah. So at this point, my spidey senses is tinkling. I'm like, something is the fuck off. So I go back outside with Hercules. He over at that car and he just staring. And I'm like, what the fuck? He comes back to me. Go in the house. My brother comes over at this time. He stops by my mom's crib. We go out. We looking. My brother walks over to the passenger seat. Passenger side, I'm sorry. The two people in there have been shot up. They've been shot. The driver has a gun on his lap. My brother say, Mike, these niggas shot. I'm like, damn. The driver, like, slowly leans his head back, looks over at my brother and says, help, help. My brother says, all right, hold on. My brother said, Mike, come on. Go in the crib. My brother says to my mom, hey, two guys in that car have been shot. So I get on the phone. I call 911. It takes maybe 5 minutes might be a stretch. They there so fast. They get there, you know, looking at shit, looking over everything. My mother said, "That must not have been firecrackers. That was the shots." I said, "Yeah, that was probably somebody shooting at that point." She said, "Damn." I said, "Okay, cool." So I go outside. I'm standing outside because I know they're going to want to talk to whoever called and all that shit, right? What'd you see, y'all? I'm standing there on the front porch. Two white cars pull up. Detective get out, walk over. In the other white car, I see some cats hop out with a camera. Like, you know, like a camera, like you filming some shit, right? They walk over, they film the scene. It's been taped off and all this shit at this point. So I'm standing there. Guy walks up to me. I still have my work shit on, right? I still have my work shirt on. All my work shit. Detective comes over. "You placed the call, yada, yada, yada." "Yeah, I did. We talking, shooting the shit, a little bit about it." My mom's in the house. My brother's in the house. The dudes with the cameras start walking toward me. The detective, I seen, put his left hand back, palm out, as to say, "Stop, don't come over here with these cameras. Mm-mm, take that over there." Respecting me enough to, you know what I'm saying, not have that, A, not having that shit in front of my mama's house. Don't have that shit in my face. And he waved them off, and they walked off. And I asked him, I was like, they good? He was like, "It don't look good." I said, "Okay, cool, whatever." And I was just so, I wasn't fucked up behind it. Like, I wasn't fucked up where it was like fucking with my mentals and shit like that. That wasn't what it was. It was how I was worried about my mom. And her safety. Like, damn. You know what I'm saying? We didn't live in the hood growing up. You know what I'm saying? And hood shit happened. Hood shit happens. But that shit happening so close to my mother was fucking with me a little bit. Like, damn. This crazy. And it wasn't gonna be the last time some crazy shit happened. And maybe I'll share that story. Maybe I won't. But that night was just on some wild shit. And I don't know whatever happened to them two cats. If they passed, if so, you know, may they be resting in peace. You know, I don't know. But if you don't believe me, Cincinnati homicide detective Jeff Scherer was there. He'll tell you.